I'm partial to songwriters, the great J.J. Cale, Cajun Moon. It must be a Cajun Moon hanging over the Congress on this impeachment thing. So here we are on December 5th, and I played this on the Morning Digestion, but I got to play it again because it makes, it makes everything clear what's going on in the House and this business of impeaching Trump. We can impeach him over and over and over.
A president can be impeached more than once. So we can do this. We can move forward with what we have on the table currently. We can take this before the Senate, and we can still investigate other issues. And when the president has committed additional offenses, and my suspicion is that he will, we can take those before the Senate. There is no limit on the number of times the Senate can vote to convict or not a president. No limit to the number of times the House can vote to impeach or not a president.
No limit. No limit. That's Congressman Al Green from Houston. No limit. We can keep going on this endlessly. And Nancy Pelosi, it came out this morning, and it was like a big news deal, and said she's now urging the Judiciary Committee to vote out articles of impeachment and proceed with impeachment.
Was there an aha moment for you personally, a piece of evidence or testimony that swayed you now to take this step?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because all I hear from the press is that I'm moving so swiftly that it's like a blur going by. This has been a couple of years, 2.5, since the initial investigation of the Russian involvement in America's election, which started much of this and then led to other things.
Yeah, the Russia investigation led to other things because it produced nothing. In fact, yesterday produced nothing.
Today's hearing meant nothing. There were no new fact witnesses. There was no new evidence that moved the ball. Republicans could pirouette and show off their knowledge of parliamentary procedure and rules to stymie the Democrats. You had three Democrat witnesses say that President Trump's behavior was egregious, clearly impeachable, met the definition of bribery. You had a Republican witness who said that it would set a dangerous precedent and that it wouldn't. And here we are at the end of the day. I agree with both of my colleagues here. We haven't changed anything.
Yeah.
Jonathan Swan of Axios, really nothing. Well, I mean, but I think that there was some stuff that, you know, was interesting. I mean, you know, there was that. Nancy Pelosi, was there an aha moment? Well, no, she didn't ever come up with one. And you know, there's the whole issue of how come you don't have, you Democrats, how come you don't have any bipartisan buy-in? Because, you know, basically, when they started this thing, as Paul Begala said, the idea was they weren't going to impeach Trump until Republicans came to them and said, okay,
you should impeach the president when the Republicans ask you to and not before. It has to be bipartisan, and yet it's not. I think the thing is, this Ukraine scandal is exactly what the founders talked about. It is a president influenced by foreigners to corrupt an election, allegedly. That's exactly what is in the Federalist
Papers.
Why
is it not bipartisan in support?
You've got to ask the Republicans that. I am stunned. I really am.
Well, it's not what's in the Federalist Papers. I mean, what they keep saying over and over and over, the president asked Zelensky, help me investigate Biden. You can look at the transcript of the call. And I'm holding it in my hands right now. President Trump, I would like you to do us a favor, though. Us. Now, you know, he's talking about corruption and the election and so forth, and he can have his head up his ass about what really went on with Ukraine. It doesn't really matter. He asked Zelensky to do us here in this country a favor, not him a favor. But, you know, they have perverted this thing into he asked for a personal favor to advance his personal interests. Joe Biden will be called as a witness in the Senate trial. He's not going to turn up voluntarily, he told Peter Ducey, but he'd probably be subpoenaed.
Now, saying that if there's a Senate impeachment trial, they might like to call you as a witness. Is that something where you would appear voluntarily?
No, I'm not going to let them take your eye off the ball. The president is the one who has committed impeachable crimes.
Yeah, I apologize for that hum. I don't know what to say about that. You know, once again, I'm at the mercy of the clip services. I will venture to say that of the four witnesses yesterday, they're all law professors. And as I mentioned in the morning digestion today, Jonathan Turley, you know, correctly pointed out to the members of Congress questioning them that what these four professors do for a living is essentially conduct a seance with the founders, trying to figure out what they meant when they wrote the Constitution. And so Turley was there, called by the Republicans, and his pitch was, hey, you know, maybe he's impeached. Maybe you should impeach him. Maybe you shouldn't. But this procedure is wrong because you have remedies. The president isn't turning over documents, and he isn't allowing certain witnesses to come testify, namely John Bolton, Mick Mulvaney, Rudy Giuliani. But you could go to court and seek a judicial order to compel him, but you're not. You're just proceeding on because you want to get this in a hurry. Then there were the other three. Noah Feldman is kind of you know, he's a young Harvard law professor. He's kind of annoying because he just sees this. He looked at this transcript that I just read to you and says, he's asking for personal help with his election campaign. And there was some guy from North Carolina who, you know, for all intents and purposes, shouldn't even been there. He didn't say much. Then there was this woman, Pamela Karlan, from Stanford University. And I am positive that she's just set people's teeth on edge. I mean, here's her. I mean, this isn't at the hearing. This is at some other thing. She was attending Washington some time ago, expressing her disgust or even hate for Donald Trump.
Yeah, so I was struck. I came in from the airport yesterday, and I got off the bus from Dulles down at L'Enfant Plaza, and I walked up to the hotel. And as I was walking past what used to be the old post office building and is now the Trump Hotel, which I had to cross the street, of course.
Are you staying there?
God, no. Never.
God, no. Never, never. As a matter of fact, when Tom McClintock from California pointed out that she has, you know, been saying Trump should be impeached for years.
On this panel, Professor Karlan called President Trump's election illegitimate in 2017. She implied impeachment was a remedy. Professor Feldman.
No, I played that because the visual was really interesting. As Tom McClintock was saying that, she slumped in her chair. Like, well, what do you mean you're bringing this up? Don't you understand? I am a law professor. You listen to me. No talking back. We don't do that at law school. I tell you students what it is. And you just shut up and listen. Well, then she stepped in it. I mean, stepped in it big time.
The Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
It didn't play well.
When you invoke the president's son's name here, when you try to make a little joke out of referencing Baron Trump, that does not lend credibility to your argument. It makes you look mean. It makes you look like you're attacking someone's family, the minor child of the president of the United States. So
yeah, well, she was. And guess who got upset about it while over the Atlantic jetting home from the NATO summit in London? None other than the First Lady.
Seek unanimous consent to enter into a record a tweet that the First Lady of the United States just issued within the hour that says, quote, a minor child deserves privacy and should be kept out of politics. Pamela Karlan, you should be ashamed of your very angry and obviously biased public.
Yeah. So Melania's tweet just kind of, And Carlin then had to apologize. Although this, and I've issued these apologies before. I was forced to issue a couple of apologies at while I was at Fox. And let me tell you, this is the classic insincere apology. I know because I've given them myself.
I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do that. I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong. But I do regret having said that.
No, I regret it. Now, no, you don't. You regret that you got jammed on it. And I wish I had the bite. I don't. But somewhere in this long testimony yesterday, it was 8.5 hours. The clip services didn't put it up, so I don't have it. She apparently, Carlin, Professor Pamela Carlin of Stanford, she who shall not be questioned, said that, you know, and I can't imagine what context this was in, except that it had something to do with electoral politics. And why was it that, you know, the liberal coastal states so overwhelmingly voted for somebody other than Trump, namely Hillary, and meanwhile, the conservatives scattered in the middle of the country voted for Trump. And apparently she said liberals like each other, so they kind of stick together, where conservatives really don't like each other. That's why they're scattered so far apart in the country, because they don't like to be together. Well, that pissed off Kellyanne Conway.
If you, ladies and gentlemen, if you went to work today to manicure nails, to manicure lawn, if you went to work with a jackhammer or a welding machine or mechanics tools or a carpentry belt and not 3 degrees from Yale, that woman yesterday looks her nose down at you. She thinks that you are less than her. And I've had it. Do you know why that man ran for president in the first place? For the forgotten man, forgotten woman? You know why I'm still here at the White House? For you. For people who are looked down upon by people with 3 Yale law degrees, had the audacity to say that liberals like to cluster together and live together. Well, conservatives can't even stand to be together. That's why they're scattered. Well, who the hell are you, lady,
that was Pamela
to look
Carlin.
Down at half of the country?
Yeah. Who the hell are you, lady? I mean, I got that feeling throughout. Just who the hell are you, lady? And, you know, to some extent, Noah Feldman as well. You know, just very doctrinaire about Trump having committed an impeachable offense and you must impeach him. And if you don't impeach him, he'll just do it again. And the election is not a remedy because, you know, if he would do this before the election, this is their reason. If he would do this before the election, he'll do it during the election. And, you know, it's so you must do this. Now, you know, Noah Feldman, I found him to be a little bit, you know, off-putting. But Carlin, and I'd be accused of being a sexist about this, but Carlin was maddening, just absolutely maddening. And I don't think it did the – I really don't think it did the Democrats any good, because I think it really shows up. Now, Nancy freaked out, just absolutely freaked out when James Rosen asked her a question as she was leaving her news conference this morning. James Rosen now works for Sinclair. And it's hard to hear in the beginning of this, but she, you know, he's asked her a question, do you hate Trump? And she stops and lectures him, and then she comes over to the microphone.
What this is about.
H.R. 3.
Thank you.
Do you hate the president?
Madam Speaker.
Representative Collins,
the reason I ask. We don't hate anybody, not anybody in the world. So don't accuse me.
I did not accuse you.
You did.
I asked a question.
You did.
Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with it. Let me just say this.
I think it's an important point.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with the helping our dreamers. of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president.
Yeah.
I pray for the president all the time.
Okay. Yeah, you, hey, Rosen. Don't do that. Okay, so, you know, she says, all right, so this is about the Constitution, and that's what the impeachment is all about. Those other things, that's about the election. So Biden, or Biden's team, saw that video of the Danish prime minister, whose name is Root, I think, Justin Trudeau, the Canadian prime minister, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, and Boris Johnson, the British prime minister, they're all standing around. And Trudeau's going on about how, you know, Trump was late for his meeting with Trudeau because he held a 40-minute news conference after some other event. And was, so he was late to see Trudeau. And that, you know, Trudeau was said he was watching, and he saw Trump's aides' jaws drop to the floor over the things Trump was saying. And they were all laughing, and, you know, you couldn't see what Macron was saying or Boris Johnson. But the implication of the video was they were all mocking the president. So Biden has decided to make this a campaign ad.
World leaders caught on camera laughing about President Trump.
Several world leaders mocking President Trump.
They're laughing at him.
My administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
World leaders mocking and ridiculing him for being completely off balance.
Allies are deeply worried about it. They say he's becoming increasingly isolated. Something is very wrong.
The world sees Trump for what he is: insincere, ill-informed, corrupt, dangerously incompetent, and incapable, in my view, of world leadership. And if we give Donald Trump 4 more years, we'll have a great deal of difficulty if ever being able to recover America's standing in the world and our capacity to bring nations together.
Yeah, this is exactly what Kellyanne Conway was talking about. Those world leaders looking down on Trump, meaning looking down on Trump's voters. And I think that's going to backfire on Biden. I think it's just going to make people, it's just going to make Trump supporters angry. So, you know, how dare you? How dare you take the side? If that little punk, Justin Trudeau, was laughing at the president, how dare you take his side? If that wild man Boris Johnson was jumping in, and that midget Macron, who married his high school teacher, if they were laughing at Trump, how dare you? Okay, so let me go to the mail. It wasn't a really great day for the mail. Let's see. Richard writes me. I guess he's upset with me about something. That subtle drive-by snubbing of Gorka's program, I don't agree. It was subtle, but nonetheless unmistakable. I can only guess your motive. You, like Medved, are sorry that he lost his gig. My take on Gorka: in his own unique way, he's got a charisma equal to Rush, plays well with the Trump base, could go top five with the right treatment, amazing radio presence for a rookie. The dude graced your airwaves a number of times, post Fox Radio. I pay $5 a month for him. I'll pay $5 for you. You're my wise and beloved dad, but he's a cool big brother. Okay, so Richard, here's the deal. Yes, I've had Gorka on many times. In fact, I like to take credit for putting him on first. He got a little bit of TV time. And Angry Rich and I said, hey, Gorka's great. Get him on, get him on, get him on. And we had him on a ton. And I wasn't snubbing him, but I was talking about how, well, you know, Salem just, you know, crapped all over Michael Medved, dumped him and put Gorka in. Not that Gorka shouldn't be on the radio. I think he should. But I also think Michael was treated badly. And this comes up in relation to the fact that I've got a an interview with Michael Medved on his new book coming up, which I'm going to post tomorrow. So, you know, you want to listen for that. So Snake Johns writes me now, Snake, I guess you weren't listening to the show yesterday. He quotes at length here in his note to me, Jerry Nadler in 1998, talking about impeachment is overturning the will of the voters. I did run the bite, and I did run him yesterday saying, oh, we've got to impeach. So, yeah, I get it. I ran that, and you're right. But I'm not going to read it all out here like you wrote in the note. Rick writes me. Oh, man, this is long. I don't think I can read it all. So let me just – it's Rick in Chattanooga. Let me read the top of it. Remember when everyone laughed at Trump for saying we'll get tired of winning? Well, I am tired of winning. I own a senior living company, and 80% of our cost is the unskilled labor force. I've been proud to provide nearly 1,000 jobs in the Southeast while serving our seniors. However, with the current unemployment rate, it is so hard to find workers, and the cost to get a worker is going way up. This puts us in the position of having to hire people who might not have otherwise considered. We would not have considered, like they're less reliable, worse attitude, worse work history, less productive. It also means our seniors have worse quality of people taking care of them. Sad. Yeah, okay, I get it. That's sort of the price of a good economy, I guess. Let's see. Mike Stroot wrote me a whole bunch in right in a row. I watched a few minutes as a Democrat committee member questioned two law professors. All three of them had overnight stubble, not a fashionable millimeter of growth as is popular. These clowns apparently looked in the mirror yesterday morning and thought, I'm going to be on TV today. I'll go with this look. Is it possible they all checked with each other ahead of time? Mike goes on to say, it was good of Ms. Carlin to shave. I think that was a low blow, Mike. I think that was a low blow. The bitch box at 859-544-2766.
Hey, John, it's so hard to find something to bitch about. Listen to your show. But thank you for the throwback for the Beach Boys and all the different artists that you know about and you've had personal experience with. And, of course, the updates on everything that's going on with politics. Awesome show, man, and don't quit spraying because we will have nobody else to listen to. Thank you, man. Bye.
I think that was a fan. That was nice. It'd be good if he left his name. And another one. This sounds very much like the same guy.
Hey, John, we definitely love this show. Maybe Trump might have to change his theme he does on these rallies he does to take this job and shove it instead of you can't always get what you want. See you, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, take this job and shove it. So the last call is in reference to this bite I played earlier.
The Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
And what do you know? Khalil thought he should weigh in on that.
Hey, John, we definitely love this show.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe Trump. There he is.
John, did you see Mama Trump yesterday? Oh, my God. Oh, yo, it's me, John. Yeah. Melania was pissed off. Huh? Let me tell you what she really said. You know, I seen the little tweet that she sent out. What she said to that woman was, you talk about my son again, you're going to have a six-inch punk shoved so far off your ass that you're going to need a real PhD to come for. Man, oh, man. You can't mess with Melania. Don't let the pretty face fool you. She's from Sylvania. She's from the hood. She's from poverty, and she worked her way up. Don't get twisted, woman.
Hmm.
And then, oh, my God, does she need a makeup artist or what? She needs a makeover. Damn. You need, before you start talking junk about somebody, baby, look in the mirror. Did she look in the mirror this morning and actually see herself before going out in the street? Good God have mercy. Boy, what in the world was she thinking?
Yeah.
So anyway, man. Oh, yeah. And just a little short, quick one on President Trump. President Trump called me himself, asked me to tell this to Justin Trudeau. Fuck you, Justin Trudeau. That was it. Yo, okay. Today, yo, John, no unpaid sponsor today. I got more of a public service announcement. Yo, everybody, go keep your health checks, you know, and get yourself checked and on regularly. You know, I was sick with double pneumonia a week or so, well, earlier this last month. And, yo, it is not no fun. Pay attention to your health. You got a problem, take care of it up front. I love you all. Okay, John, I'm gone.
All right. Okay, the birthday guy is a guy named J.J. Cale. You may not know him. He was born today, 1938, in Oklahoma City. He died in 2013 in San Diego. He lived in Escondido. So he was 75 when he died, but he wrote so many great songs. And many of them Eric Clapton has done. After Midnight, Cajun Moon, They Call Me the Breeze, Sensitive Kind. What else we got here? Crying Eyes. I mean, just a ton of songs that a lot of different people did as well as he. And but this one, I know you're going to know, because Eric Clapton did it and did it really well.
To get down, down on
Yeah, Eric Clapton did a great version of that song. It's that riff that's so good. He also did After Midnight, which Eric Clapton did. Clapton put together an album, J.J. Cale songs, after he died. It's really good, called The Breeze. J.J. Cale's last album was called The Breeze, I think. In any case, J.J. Cale's a birthday. Write me at host@johngibson.com. Do call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766. And follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio and retweet my tweets. And get your friends to subscribe at johngibson.com, okay?